States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, the USDF President George Williams will be here to review the 2015 Adequan USDF Annual Convention, and that will be followed by some tips on the freestyle from USDF S-Judge Dolly Hannon. And we begin with one item of news regarding the FEI dressage tests for 7-year-olds, which have been published. The tests for the other young horse categories have been updated for 2016, and all riders using those FEI tests should refer to the FEI website to make sure they are using the current version. They can all be found on the FEI website at fei.org. And the USDF President George Williams joins us now after the convention to take a look back at the events of last week. George, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Well, it was a very busy week. Lots of business, of course, takes place, as well as the celebrations. So why don't you talk us through how the week went, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, sure. At first, we had, the convention was in Las Vegas, which is always, I think, a fun destination for a lot of people, and a lot of people bring their significant others and their families and whatnot. So the attendance at the convention was very good, and the attendance at the gala was even better. So that part is, was excellent, and of course makes for a lot of fun. Also, the other activity that was going on is the veterinarians were having their conference, their annual meeting, just a few days after ours. So that gave us an opportunity to have wonderful educational sessions, and we had many vets speak to our group and on a variety of topics, and those were all extremely well received. As you mentioned, of course, this is first and foremost a business meeting. We had elections this year, the even-numbered regional directors, so that would be for regions 2, 4, 6, and 8, were up for election. And I think, as most people are aware, sadly, we lost our Region 4 director, Lloyd Landkammer, this past September. So we had an interim director. Linda Landers had stepped in very generously and filled in that spot until the election could be done. And Ann Sushko is the new regional director, and her term will begin January 1st, as with the other regional directors. The second new, if you will, regional director that was voted in is Carolyn Birch from Region 6. So, once again, her term will begin January 1st. And I want to thank Donna Longacre, who was the previous regional director, for all the work she had done on behalf of her region. In Region 2, Ken Levy will continue. He was reelected. And in Region 8, Deborah Reinhart was also reelected. We had elections for two officers as well. Steve Schubert was reelected as our treasurer, and I was reelected as the president for another term. Also, along the business lines, of course, this is the meeting where we approve our budget for the next fiscal year, which for us starts April 1st. And, of course, we get a report from our treasurer on how we're doing financially this year, and we're doing well. We're fiscally very sound, which really is a great thing because it allows us to continue with strong educational programs and, of course, the other things that we offer. But I particularly want to emphasize the educational programs that we're able to do because of that. The work during the week is done in the committees. So we have during the week the educational committee met and discussed adult clinics and how to better reach adults and provide more programs for them. And they had a very good discussion and think that's going to, it's an ongoing discussion, and hopefully in the near future we'll be laying out some plans for new programs there. The Sport Horse Committee met, and they agreed to continue. Last year we had done a pilot program for the Youth Sport Horse Handlers Seminar that was held at Devon, during dressage at Devon. And the Sport Horse Committee has agreed and wants to continue with that program, which was very well received. So that's a new program that's coming in. As I said, the work is done in the committees, and anyone who attends the convention, I would encourage them to attend these committee sessions. They're, most of them are open, and that's where we really get a lot of input from our members. Before I get into the discussion on the farms, I just want to mention last thing, and that is the, from the committee, the FEI level certification program is really starting to take hold, and it's, for me, that's a very, I'm really happy to see this. I think it's a very exciting thing, and we're seeing some new faces come into our certification program. They're actually having a second FEI level testing in a few days from now, and that will be done here in Florida. The second one this year. This is the first year we've done them, so I think we're off to a very good start. As I had started, I wanted to talk about the finals, because the U.S. Dressage Finals, of course, was a very big topic of discussion. And the finals were created by a motion that went before our Board of Governors, which is our assembly, our delegates, and that's where the business of the organization is done. The finals were created by a motion that was passed in 2011. And in that motion, it stated that we would have an East Coast, that we would start the finals in Kentucky and for 3 years, and then rotate every 3 years between East and West. And it would be 2015 would have been the third year on the East. And we have been looking at venues, and we had a site selection committee, and a couple of us have done a lot of site visits. And through that, we had decided that it was best to postpone the rotation in 2016 and keep the finals in Kentucky at the Kentucky Horse Park for 2016. However, that leaves us with talking about or discussing moving the finals in 2017 to the West Coast. I felt very strongly, and the executive board was in full agreement, that because the motion was created in 2011 by the Board of Governors, that the discussion needed to be brought back to the Board of Governors. So we had put forward a proposal for where the finals might go in 2017 in California, and opened it up to discussion in front of the Board of Governors. And there was a lot of lively and energetic discussion about the pros and cons. What creates a finals? Is the number of regions represented? In our case, our finals, our process uses the regional championships, so they come out of the regions. Should they be centrally located? Should they remain more in one spot at the Kentucky Horse Park? Should they continue to rotate? Should they continue as the motion said, or continue with the original motion and have them rotate? I thought it was a very, very healthy discussion. Ultimately, the decision was made by the Board of Governors to keep the finals in Kentucky for the time being. And in the meantime, the regions that are west, which would be Region 7, which is California and Nevada, and Region 6, which is Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, and Region 5, which basically stretches from the north of Montana down to the Mexican border, and it reaches east to through Colorado. But until those three regions might be able to come up with a venue that they would think would be very suitable and make a proposal about moving the finals west at that time. So I think, as I said, it was a very healthy discussion. It was very valuable, and I, as president and chairing the Board of Governors, I was very appreciative of the discussion and the opinions expressed, and how well they were expressed, and how people I think, argued back and forth very sensibly over it. So that was probably the most exciting part of the business aspect of the meetings, and I think I'm happy with the outcome. I was quite neutral going into it, but I think that the outcome is very satisfactory and very workable, and hopefully we can move west eventually, or at least make it easier for the West Coast riders to attend the finals when they're held in Kentucky. I think lastly, what I'd really like to talk about is, you had mentioned the gala in the very, very beginning. Saturday night is our awards gala. This year we honored our Youth Volunteer of the Year, Rebecca Mangari. She was honored for her work in volunteerism. Our Volunteer of the Year was Roz Kinsler, who has been really instrumental in a lot of our youth programs and our Young Rider graduate program that we offer every other year. And last, but certainly not least, Lloyd Landkamer was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, which, was very deserved. As I mentioned earlier, he had passed away in September, but I'm happy to report that we had made sure he received the award prior, so he at least was aware. And of course, that was both, it was nice to recognize him, but of course, it was very sad to not have him there. But that's I think, a basic wrap-up of how the week went. Next year, our meeting is in St. Louis. I believe we're at a hotel right at the base of the Arch, so it should be a fun location. And hopefully we'll have a good turnout and as many people joining us next year as we did this year.
And, of course, party two, the celebrations were, of course, the loyal sponsors, and we should mention Adequan, the presenting sponsor, but the family of sponsors generally, George, that have supported USDF over the years and new ones that have come to the sport.
Adequan has been a sponsor of the convention now for a number of years in the gala and our awards program. Stanley joined us, they're fairly new, I'm not sure how many years ago. And we have several other sponsors who really make it all possible. And we really would not be able to do it without the generosity of our sponsors. And also, we would like to say, of course, that to congratulate all of the awards winners that we've had. It's fun to be a part of it, and it's a fun because some of the Horse of the Year awards, which, of course, they're always very rewarding, but it's the awards, like the Rider Awards, that's the accumulation of several years, usually of hard work for the award winners to achieve. That's really fun to see, and it's really fun to see them reach their goals or attain their goals.
And as president, that must be one of the privileges of the position, to celebrate those winners each year.
It truly is, yes.
Well, what a great wrap-up. And I think for any new members who may be listening, George, perhaps an indication of when these rules take place that were passed at convention and when the Board of Governors next meet in 2016.
Yeah, the Board of Governors meets annually. The delegates that are voted in are in place throughout the year, but the in-person meeting is always at the convention. So they will meet again in December of 2016. Now, the rules and things, that were passed. Of course, we have discussion of the USEF rule change proposals. There's a lot of discussion about those, or the effective dates on those varies quite a bit. So the best is really to check with the USEF. What I failed to mention is that the USEF Dressage Committee meets during the convention, and it's great to have them there. And this year I was thrilled because the USEF Dressage High Performance Committee also met, and that's the first time that they have met at our convention. In the other Olympic disciplines, years they have met, you know, during the affiliates convention. So it was the first time for us, and I think it's this year we'll be meeting again next year at the convention, and I think this is a big step forward. It's so nice to have those committee members, you know, as part of our convention.
And of course, members can find more information about the events that took place, the meetings and everything that George has referenced here on the website at usdf.org. And just to let you know that the USDF is in the process of shipping out the awards that were won at the 2015 Attaquan USDF Salute Gala and Annual Awards Banquet. But if you did not attend, you should receive your award by January the 15th. But please contact the USDF office on or before January the 30th if you do not receive your award. And now Dolly Hannan joins us for our education segment. She is a trainer, competitor, and USEF S judge, and she has a tip on the freestyle from a judge's perspective and the importance of the music that you choose.
One thing that's important in developing a freestyle and having it be successful is to like your music and really look like you're enjoying it during the presentation. Most of the time, the freestyles that are most successful have meaning to the writer. Either there's a theme that has a personal meaning, or they just love the music. I was in Oklahoma this past weekend, and there was a woman who wanted to work on her freestyle. She loved the Beatles. It was very obvious she loved the Beatles. The music had meaning to her, and it also complimented her horse. And it was interesting there, they talked about how they get together and periodically have a professional come out and just play music for them, and they see how the horse responds to the music. Now, I had not, I know when horses like music or they don't like music, but I hadn't really thought of playing music and figuring out which piece the horse might respond to. So that was a new concept, which I thought was unique, or maybe it's not unique, but it was new to me. So you can play different genres or pieces of music and see how your horse responds to it. This is important just because oftentimes it shows the music is played much louder or the sound system has a much fuller range. So if you've only played your music on a small boombox and then the music is considerably louder, you might get a very different reaction from your horse. And that's another part of this tip in terms of the music is to be sure you've played it loud and they can handle that, because sometimes people will choose big, bold music, and then when it's very loud, it creates a lot of tension in the horse. So the music selection is quite important. My last tip is to know the rules, which seems quite obvious, but the rules are evolving and changing, and it can be very confusing in terms of putting together a freestyle. And with the changes in computers and computer programs that are available, we have many more people doing their own freestyles. And if you're going to do it yourself and not hire a freestyle designer, you need to know the rules. The rules, guidelines, and definitions for freestyle on the USDF website are full of information and very helpful. You also want to check the USEF rules and just be sure you're in compliance, because if your freestyle was too long, you don't want to get a deduction and not have movements not scored after the final halt. if you included movements and or transitions, and I know there's been a lot of confusion about that this year, that are not allowed, it's a problem. You get a deduction. So you want to look at the score sheets, on the score sheets, and we've also had several articles and previous podcasts on this. It states clearly what is allowed and what is not allowed. So what is allowed and what is forbidden. So know the rules. I had a competitor that I'd given a fairly good freestyle score to come up and speak with me at a competition about the score, and he was quite confused about why his degree of difficulty score was not higher, and I believe the choreography score too. He thought that they were on the low side. And it was a first level freestyle, and the reason that he didn't have a higher score there was because he hadn't included either a canter loop, like we see in first level test 3, or any counter canter in the choreography. And he actually felt pretty strongly that that should not affect his degree of difficulty score, since counter canter is not required at first level. What I try to explain to him, and what I want to be sure people are clear about, you must be at least at the degree of difficulty of the highest test of the level of the freestyle. So that means for his first level freestyle, without including some sort of a canter loop with a little bit of counter canter, there's a few steps there, and or counter canter, which is allowed clearly on the score sheets, his degree of difficulty was not up to the highest test of the level. So I tried to explain that. I'm not quite sure at the time he understood, but I think that's important to know. Look at the highest test of the level and know what the expectation is. To get a high degree of difficulty, you've got to have at least that level and or higher. And some people try to get a little too creative, and it's difficult to see what they are doing. So knowing the rules, this is a little addendum. Be sure the judge can see clearly what you're doing. Because if it's confusing, then it affects the scores. So the judges now have to take tests on rules, including freestyle, and I highly recommend that all competitors, especially if you're doing your own freestyle, know the rules and be sure and run your freestyle by a professional, your instructor, or someone you respect, so that they look at it from the judge's perspective. And good luck with your own freestyle.
And our thanks again to Janet Dolly Hannon for bringing us these tips. The USDF would like to remind members that auditor registrations are still being accepted for the ADEQUAN USDF FEI Level Trainers Conferences. The deadline for early online registration to attend the January 18th to 19th conference in Loxahatchee, Florida with Johan Hinneman is January the 8th. And the deadline for online registration to attend the March 14th West Coast Conference with Stephen Clark is February the 14th. Registration will be available on site at an increased price. Don't forget when you're on the website at usdf.org to check out eTrack, the USDF's online learning center for other educational items geared to dressage riders. And finally, the USDF office will be closed the week of December the 21st through the 25th and will not be posting podcasts during the weeks of Christmas and New Year's Eve. We would like to thank you for joining us this past year and wish you all a joyous holiday season with your families and friends. Our next episode will be the first episode of 2016 on January the 6th. Don't forget that these podcasts are available for download from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. And you can also listen on the website at usdf.org. Thank you all for joining us wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.